from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster, who, again, is not a podcaster, but, you know, if I was in Ron Conkham, I'd say I was a podcaster. Or my you know, one of my relatives might say, are you working on your podcast? And I'd say, no, that's not quite the right accent for Ron Conkham, a scoots. And I'd say, you're right, I'm not good at accents. I'm good at accentuating the fact that you deserve a good night's sleep and I don't know if there's like an over accentuation, overextended accentuations. So that's what I said on my last statement. It said I was overextended on my accentuations. It makes me want to say conjunction, junction, what's your function? Well, I know my function is to make the sleep with me, the podcast. It's here to put you to sleep. And if you're a regular listener, if you're new, none of this is important. If you're a regular listener, the next part is that we bring this show twice a week, or remember to look it up when your hand hits the fridge tomorrow. It'll all be in the show notes. Hey, everybody, this is just a reminder that this episode was recorded a little while ago, but I wanted you to know that Sleep With Me is here to support you, and you can find links in our show notes, and Sleep With Me is here to support our Black community because Black Lives Matter. You can find links about that also in our show notes, and you can find links of steps and actions you can take, or if you're saying, what, like, you don't understand, you could find out more, and you could really take a look at things internally and externally, and slowly, start to become a part of the solution. And all of those links will be in the show notes. So I really wanted you to know that right up front. Thanks. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show. Not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions, so we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus and I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody. It's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Luxe, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Luxe collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which which one is going to fit you and your body. You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. All right, everybody, it's a time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the most brash, loudest part of the podcast, because this podcast part, part of the podcast I need you to hear. It's where we celebrate the listeners who support the sponsors and are vocal about it, so we can keep bringing this podcast for free twice a week. And I want to thank Anna, Holly, Chaney, and Emil, who all supported Celestial Seasonings, tagged Celestial Seasonings on Instagram and Twitter, tagged me. If you support a sponsor, especially like our long-term sponsors, you know, Brooklyn and Helix, Quip, Native Helix, Best Fiends, KiwiCo, please tag them when you support them. Please let me know about it. Tag them, tag me on Twitter, Instagram, so I could try to thank you here in the Sleepy Supporter Zone. So be like Anna, Holly, Chaney, and Emil. Thank you so much. The second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need. Whether it's for your own mental health, your own self-care, to support the Black members of our community, and or to support external and internal change and empower you to do that. Links to that stuff will be in the show notes. If you have more links, please share them with me. In the third part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is something I support. And I mean, you got to, if you haven't checked out my Instagram and seen some of the masks I'm wearing from Ashley Slade, Ashley Slade Art, she does the GIF gifts for the show too. So you get to support mask wearing, you get to support Ashley's work and LA Food Bank all in what better opportunity? So those links will be in the show notes too, because those are multiple things that I support. And that is into the Sleepy Supporter Zone, which is now over. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on the show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Poster Song.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
All right. Song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors.
You can find anything you want. Sleep with me, podcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance. We're raising money for the Water Wheel Foundation. And Scooter might get a perk.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you can find me. Don't forget to share the podcast wherever it comes up in online or personal, interpersonal conversation, particularly if you used LinkedIn, because I do not use LinkedIn. Share it on there, because I know there's people that use it, or Pinterest or something. Thanks, everybody, and let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake. It could be thoughts, you know, things you're thinking about, things on your mind, feelings. So any emotions coming up for you related to the feelings or the thoughts, or they're just emoting. They're just there. Or physical sensations. It could be changes in routine or time or temperature. Whatever it is, it could be many, 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 many things. Whatever it is, I'd like to take your mind off of that. What I'm going to do is, what I propose to do is, whatever's keeping me awake, I'd like to take your mind off that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to send my voice. Is there another part? Whatever, keep you up at tossing, turning, mind race, trouble getting sleep, trouble staying asleep. I can't remember the next part. Forgetfulness, that might keep me up later. Yeah, whatever is keeping you awake, I'd like to take your mind off. That's exactly what I'd like to do. I don't think I can do it in a straightforward way. But the way I'm going to do it, and I did get distracted because I was supposed to remember something, and now I can't remember what I was supposed to remember, so I got to apologize to the listener who tried to remind me. Hopefully I'll remember what they told me to remember, but I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use the lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. I'm going to go off topic. I'm going to get mixed up and confused. Oh boy, all of those things. Upcoming on this episode of Sleep With Me. Pointless meanders, creaky dulcet tones. Holy moly. Superfluous tangents. Ideally creating a safe place to take your mind off of stuff as you drift off. Now, a few important things to know if you're new. One is, if you're new, is it that this show does not work for everybody. Though there are a few people it has worked for immediately. Like 90% of people say that the first two or three tries they didn't like the show, or they were feeling ambivalent or uncertain or skeptical, or they just weren't into it. And sometimes that's because you have expectations of something different, and sometimes it's because you're just waiting to see what happens, and then the second or third time you realize, well, nothing's really happening. So, like, so if you're having any of those reactions, it's totally normal. I mean, creaky, you say, how many other podcasts have creaky dulcet tones? And you say, I don't know, the Barn Door cast has creaky dulcet tones. The old wooden garage door podcast has them. That one podcast from the swamp, I don't know which one, I can't remember what it's called, though. What else? The creaky dulcet cast, actually, they have the sweetest voices, but they talk about... I think that's just a tribute cast. Yeah, I'm not really sure. Okay, what was my point? I don't know about that one either, Scoots. So the first thing to know is, yeah, this podcast does not work for everybody, but for 90% of the people that it worked for, took two or three tries. Which, you know, that's kind of actually 100% better than most sleep solutions. I'm not trying to brag, but maybe even more than that. I'm not good at math either. Because usually for me, it's the opposite. I try something once and it works, and I try it again, it might work. And then the third time I try it, doesn't work anymore. Or whatever the other things, it says, oh, it made me groggy the next day. Or, oh, I woke up, you know. So sleeping actually works the reverse of most sleep solutions. Is most of the time, the first time it doesn't work. It drives you up a wall. Yeah, but then the second or third time, it gets more effective. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm laughing, because I didn't realize the irony. Made almost 900 episodes. Or this may even be around 900. I don't even know. So that's pretty funny to me. I'm sorry, but it is. I say, wait a second. This is one of the few sleep solutions that doesn't really work initially, but then it starts to work regularly. So give it a few tries, because there's really no investment other than your time. So just kind of see how it goes. Also, don't try to, this kind of go, piggybacks on that, don't try to make sense of it. There's another thing I never thought of that doesn't go with bedtime, but I got to point out, piggybacking. No piggybacking. Well, okay, there are exceptions leading up to bedtime, but we'll get into that. But give it a few tries, and don't try to figure the podcast out. It's best consumed in a loose, out-of-focus way, because it doesn't make any sense. Initially or later on, you say, wow, as soon as I realized it doesn't make any sense, I got, and that Scoots would, if Scoots was heading towards a point, he would go in a different direction. And building on that, it's a podcast you don't need to listen to. You could just barely listen. And it's not so much meant to help to put you to sleep as to be here as you fall asleep to keep you company as you drift off. So it's more of like your bedtime companion. I try to be your boar friend, your boar bay, your boar bud, your boar bestie versus something more grand. But though being a boar bestie, you can't really do better than that, can you? Which is like your best boar friend. Best boar friend. BBF. BBFs. Best friends, right? BB. Best, how come, isn't there three letters in best friend, best BBF? Don't they say BBF or they just say BF, my best friend? Yeah, I'm your BBF, your best boyfriend. I may be missing something in there, but that's one of the keys to the podcast. So those are a few things to note. The other thing that can throw people off is the structure of the show. And I guess the reason someone reminded me recently, they were like, Scoots, can you remember to mention in the intro something? And then I said, no problem. I'll tell you, you might have to remind me again. And I think it's that some people, the podcast works for the first time, but it could be something else. And I'll try to find the email and reread it because, but yeah, do this part of the show for everybody because then I don't know. So if you're new, those are for some things to remember. The other thing, if you throw new listeners off, but regular listeners like it, is the structure of the show. So show starts off with a few minutes a bit. Show starts off with a greeting, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends beyond the binary. So you know you're welcome here. Then we go into business. That's how we bring the show out twice a week. Then there's an intro, and the intro is around 12 to 18 minutes of me rambling about nothing, but it tries to introduce the podcast to new listeners and give regular listeners a chance to get ready for bed, to get in bed and get comfortable. So there's so that's because a lot of new people say, why is the intro so long? Doesn't make any sense. What are you talking about? Business the whole time? I say, no. I mean, I guess technically you'd say it's like housekeeping. How come there's no reality house? I mean, well, Marie Kondo, you got me already. I said, how come there's no reality housekeeping shows? That's what part of my brain said. And now another part of my brain is thinking of like 50, I say, okay, this old house, tidying up, all those fixing and remodeling shows. I guess if I had a show, I would combine it with like a spiritual show or like a values-based show. You say, bless this mess. I don't know. Is there a show called that? Because there should be. You say, well, we go to people's house and I don't know what we would do. We'd say, great job. Maybe it would be, we give out rewards for people's houses as they are. Bless this mess. And we fold in a universal message and a universal truth in every episode of dignity, hope, and courage. Bless this mess. Or it could be, we go around, I don't know. So anyway, what does it have to do with anything? So the intro is kind of like this, where I go off topic. So for a new listener, you kind of get an idea of what you're in for. But for a regular listener, they're getting ready for bed. They're winding down. Or they're already in bed comfortable. And then about 2% of listeners skip the episode. Maybe this is another thing some people have to remind me of. There's actually more than 2% of people that listen during the day or listen to the whole episodes to relax. or for a little break or whatever. And then there's the people that can't sleep. So this is actually the only, that's the other thing about the show, why it's an hour. If you can't sleep, I'm here to keep you company. And also to remind you that there's no pressure to fall asleep. So that's the intro. Then there's some business. Then there'll be our episodically modular serial series, Otter Things. OTTERTHINGS. About Emma Otter and her friends. Real nice series. And then there'll be some thank yous and stuff. So that's the structure of the show. There's no need to listen, no pressure to fall asleep. And there's a reason I make the show. And the reason I make the show is twofold. One, you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a place of respite where you can relax and feel good. And two, I've been there. I know how it feels. Tossing and turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. All those things. And I want to help if I can. And then I guess I mentioned piggybacking at bedtime. But I guess there's like the picturesque piggybacking, which would be either you're the, I don't even know what it came up with that term. It sounds like a problematic term to me, to be honest. But you could be the carrier and you're carrying someone into bed and you're saying, hey, toss you into bed now. Have fun. Good nighty poo. Or you're the gleeful youngster. Believe me, I'll get into the it could be two grown adults, and it could be part of your, operational procedures, your warm-up. So that's different. But this one would be like, you say, oh, fun, I can't wait to go to sleep. So I guess that's the only time it'd be good. So I guess piggybacking is like more like the, like getting ready for bed, because you couldn't really piggyback someone in bed. That would be counterproductive, because you say, well, my back's tired. Why can't I just put you down? You're already in your bed. But maybe it's like an extended, well, I just want to hold on to your back while you read me a bedtime story. Say, okay, fair enough. I get it. So I guess that didn't really go anywhere. You can't go very far piggybacking anyway. I mean, unless you're like someone that's in phenomenal shape, even then, I don't know. So that's about it. I mean, I guess that's everything. I'm glad you're here. Give the show a few tries. I just really hope it can help you. I mean, that's why I make the show. But I appreciate you coming by and checking the podcast out. And I really yearn and I strive. I really want to help you fall asleep. Thanks again. And here's a couple ways we're able to bring this podcast twice a week.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switch to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. Hey, everybody, this is Scooch. Welcome to our episodically modular and somewhat serialized series, Otter Things, OTTERTHINGS. Actually going to turn things over to the host of the Otter Things, but I just want to let you know it's a serialized episodic series, which means that at the beginning of each episode, you'll get caught up on everything that's happening, so you can listen to it in any order. And I found that actually the recaps actually put a lot of people to sleep. So some people listen to starting at the recap on other nights because they say, well, just the recap itself is enough. I sleep just fine during the recap. And that way I could sleep through the whole story. So if you need to, or you're thinking, well, this is episode 3, it's okay. You'll be fine. You won't get mixed up, or you will get mixed up, but you won't miss anything. And if you miss anything, you could re-listen. And then if those of you that listen during the night, because you can't sleep or you want some company, you'll get caught up on the story, and then you'll hear the next part of the story altogether. And I'll be here to keep you company to the end. So without further ado, I'm turning things over to Emma Otter. Yeah, hey, this is Emma Otter here. I just wanted to make sure I was recording. I was a little bit nervous. And I'm here to tell you the story of Otter Things, the story of my town and my friends, my family, and the residents of our town here. And we live in a swamp. I'm trying to think of everything I need to tell you. Once upon a time, there's a town in a swamp filled with swampland creatures. And it was a sleepy little town, a nice town to live in, not like the hustle and bustle of places like River Bottom or Henson Town. It was just a nice place to live. And that's where I grew up and I was born, Emma Otter. And I lived there with my parents and my brother, Tefe, and my youngest sibling. And my best friends are Willow, Vaughn, and Elijah. Not in any particular order. You probably know which of those three is my best friend if you're listening to this. And particularly if you are my best friend, you say, well, I know which one of those three is Emma's best friend. I am. You're correct in that assumption. So those are my friends, and who else do you need to know? Let's see, Emma and Tefe, that's me and my brother, my parents. Now, my parents aren't that important, you know. I mean, to me, they are. To you, yeah, you know, they're like, it could be considered the chorus. Willow has a sister, Dari, and her mom is Frances, and they all live together. And, you know, they do play a part in this tale. The bullfrog, Leon's his name, but we all call Bull. And there's probably other people I'm forgetting that are really important, but I just wanted to set the stage. Once upon a time, we all lived in our town. We went about our lives. Middle school, Bards and Big Bunnies, that's our role-playing game we play. And, you know, we all like to play music, but we also deep down knew that everything would be well. So keep that in mind when you hear this story, because sometimes stories take a while to get. It takes a whole journey of life. I think my Uncle Emmett once sang a song about that. How many journeys of life it takes to realize, oh, all is and all will be well. But I want to tell you that right up front in case you say, well, it doesn't seem that way, Emma. And I say, yeah, I'm looking back and telling you this with more knowledge than you have. And much more knowledge than I had at the time. When one day after a game of Big Bunnies and Bards at my house, LJ, Vaughn, and Willow went home. And they all headed home except for Willow. And over the next period of time, we wondered, where did Willow go if Willow didn't go home? Did Willow go on a goose chase following geese? It did, as Vaughn would say, Willow get caught up in some sort of comic book adventures with creatures from another world. Or friends, you know, friends from another world. Yeah, you're right. Was it something like Big Bunny and Bards? Did Emma, like, because we had played a game where Willow, that used to be in the character in my own story, but did Willow say, well, there's a big bunny coming to take all the town's food. Maybe I'll protect the town, like in a game of Big Bunnies and Bards. Or, you know, was it something else, like Emma just went for a walk? Or did we found out last episode Emma did not go to visit her dad in River Bottom? Because Dari, Babs, and Tefe had driven there. And actually, that's probably a good place to start. And I'll catch you up as we go on, too. But this is a most famous resident of our town, actor, philanthropist, Mr. Antonio Banderas. Thank you, Emma. The ladies, the gentlemen, the boys, the girls, the friends behind the binary. Residents of swampland and every land. This is an episode of Odder Things. Yeah. Could you remember the take notes I gave you, Antonio? Oh, yes. This is an episode of Odder Things. Splish, splash. This is an... Oh, yeah. This is an episode of Odder Things. Splish, splash. That was great. You didn't... there was no sibilance on that. This is an episode of Odder Things. I'm Emma Odder. I guess you could say I'm reporting, but not... I'm reporting to you, dear listener. And on the fact that when we start out, my brother Tefe and Willow's sister and Willow's best friend Babs had headed out to Riverbottom to talk to Willow and Dari's dad, Lenny, about, you know, where was, if Will had come there, maybe to either visit or to start her career as a busker in Riverbottom, but Lenny said no. But then when Dari got back to the car, she found that Tefe and Babs were K-I-S-S-I-N-G-ing. And Dari probably doesn't want anybody to know this, but Dari kind of had some feelings for Tefe, which is a mistake. You know, I would have, if we would have sat down, but, you know, Tefe just has, I'm just rolling my eyes right now. I don't know what to say, but to tell you that that's a fact, unfortunately. Dari was a little bit upset that she'd found Tefe and Babs kissing. So she drove home, and then she pulled over because she was like so displeased. She was gonna, because Tefe had borrowed our Uncle Emmett's truck, and Dari was gonna throw the keys in the swamp near the tunnel that goes to the place beyond the swamp that we're not allowed to go to. And then Tefe apologized to Dari and said, "Hey, just let's not throw the keys in the swamp. It was my bad. And I know you're going through a hard time with Willow. You know, we're not sure, and we thought Willow might be your dad's, but we'll figure this out together." And they went back to the car to find that Babs wasn't there. They kind of noticed some goose feathers, slimy goose feathers, but they thought that Babs probably had that on her shoe and headed off and walked home. And that was only partly true, because what had happened was Babs waited for Dari and Tefe, and then, you know, naturally Babs said, "Well, what if they're kissing now? I'm not sure how I'll feel about that." And Babs headed out to find them on a path, because they had kind of parked in another place that's popular for teens that are doing that. And then Babs kind of got, like, took a pass. Then she heard a noise, and she said she thought it sounded like a bunny. Then she thought she saw bunny ears. And Babs started to follow the bunny, and it was like a forced perspective situation. So Babs thought it was a small bunny far away, but really it was a larger bunny that was closer. But she started following the bunny. And I can tell you that, you know, just like I said, all will be well with Babs. But at the time, Babs said, "Hey, bunny, are you lost? Don't go that way." Because, you know, as far as Babs knew, that bunnies really weren't... meant to be swimming around in the swamp, but maybe hopping around the edges of the swamp. And Babs was a very caring person. Then she got close to the bunny, and she realized that it was a different bunny than she had seen. It wasn't a pure bunny. It had, like, goose feathers in addition to fur. And there was some slime on it, and she may have seen, like, even, like, geese. Like, she was like, "Okay, maybe I'm seeing something. You're not a bunny. You're a big bunny goose type thing." Now, it's interesting that Dari and Willow's dad's named Lenny, because what happened was very reminiscent of a different Lenny, but not totally like that Lenny from a famous book. Because the bunny actually swept Babs up and said, like, reverse what Babs was doing and said, oh, are you, like, and, now the bunny didn't speak, it kind of just communicated without words. But Babs was immediately relaxed as the bunny swept her up in its arms or paws or wings and said, oh, are you, oh, look at this little creature here. Oh, let me care for you and take good care of you and take you care of you and bring you home. But this bunny goose was actually pretty gentle. So it did sweep Babs away, but then it started hopping and Babs said, where are you hopping to, bunny? And the bunny didn't really answer, and it went to the place beyond the swamp where we're not supposed to go. But Babs was also falling asleep, and so Babs fell into a deep sleep. And the bunny kind of hopped off a little bit like Babs was a pet, which is not exactly the reality, because Babs is a sentient being with free will. But maybe the bunny didn't know that, and they hopped off. And like I said, all will be well eventually, but I just can't tell you everything, right? And actually, I can't even remember it because the way my memory works is I have to remember things in order as they happened, kind of. Not everything. I can kind of go backwards, but it's just a quirk of my memory when I'm telling stories that I can't jump ahead. I mean, I can jump around in the story. You know what I mean? I get mixed up. Now, meanwhile, back at the car, Tefe and Dari had said, well, maybe Babs must have gone home. She must have been frustrated with both of us. So they started driving home. And as they drove home, neither one of them was really sure how to feel. Like, they had their own feelings. So they were unaware that Babs had been swept up in the arms of a goose bunny. And they were more concerned with the awkwardness, or did they want a kiss, or what, isn't that confusing? You know, isn't that a little bit? They're teens, you know. Being a teen is not easy. It's confusing. And so Dari didn't really want to talk about it. Tefe did. And actually, I think Tefe was more on the strong side of like, hey, like, I think I was kissing Babs but thinking of you or something. And Dari said, let's not talk about it. Remember, I'm dealing with stuff with Willow. And maybe we'll talk to Tefe. Said, are you going to come to school tomorrow? And Dari said, well, maybe. I don't know. And Tefe said, well, I hope I see you at school tomorrow. I'm sorry again. And Dari went inside. And Dari thought she was going to try to sneak inside. It was like early in the morning. And she was like, maybe I'll catch a couple hours of sleep before school. And meanwhile, as she snuck inside, she like snuck down the hall to her room, which is across from Willow's room. And her mom's room was in another, like the other side of the house. So she was like, oh, I think I'm covered. And as soon as she put her foot down to open her door, she realized that Willow's door was open and her mom was there talking. And of all things, she was talking to a wind chime. And it was actually a famous wind chime I don't want to brag, but it was a jug band wind chime with all these members of a jug band. And she was saying, Willow, tell me more. Willow, are you there, Willow? Play one of the jug band wind chime instruments. And she hadn't perfected this one. Each wind chime was supposed to kind of sound like an instrument from a jug band, like a washboard or, a jug, which is tough. She was still crafting it. Frances is a bespoke wind chime maker, or wanted to be, or did. One day maybe she would be the most famous wind chime maker in the world. And hopefully she'll sponsor my productions. But so she was singing, and then she looked over and she saw Dari trying to sneak in, and she said, did you just get home? And Dari said, and she said, come in here and sit down next to me. And Dari was like, oh boy, I'm busted. But she said, listen, your sister's here. And she said, where? And she said, in this, within, like, she's talking to me through the wind chime. And just like anyone, you know, it's not something you hear every day. So you say, wait a second. So Willow's talking to you through the wind chime, Mom? And she was holding the wind chime. And she said, yeah, Willow, your sister's here. She just snuck in. Don't know where she was. Where were you? I went to Dad's. Willow's not visiting Dad. Okay, we'll talk about that later. Willow, I know you're not at Lenny's because your sister looked for you there. So talk to your sister now, too, and tell her we'll also discuss consequences later. And nothing happened. And Dari said, Mom, have you been talking to the wind chime all night? She said, I'm not talking to the wind chime. I'm talking to your sister. And Dari said, Mom, please go to bed for a little while. Like, let's lie down here together. And they got in Willow's bed, and they snuggled up. And, you know, while it might not be fair, Dari tried to hold and comfort her mom, but she felt held as she held and comforted her mom. And they did both eventually fall asleep together for a little while. And meanwhile, morning had come, and it was at my house. I'd had a sleepover with Vaughn and LJ, and my parents didn't know that Billy... Oh, so this is part of the story you probably have to be caught up on, too, is that... So at some point, we were looking for Willow, and instead of Willow, we had looked in the swamp, and we had said, if Willow went on a wild goose chase after Canadian geese or Canada geese, we'll find her. And we found this other being... who we call Billy, which was maybe at the time we thought Vaughn might be right. Is this a being from outer space? It was a duck, a duckish bill, but not a normal duck bill color, on a beaver with webbed feet. It was a being we'd never seen before, named Billy. And Billy seemed to be lost, and we took Billy home to my house and dried them off. And then we realized that Billy had come from the place beyond the swamp. And Billy also said, I think I know where your friend Willow is. And we also realized that Billy has magical powers via song or superpowers. And it'll come up more. Just for an example, Billy had sang the song Right Here, Right Now, or made the lyrics, not the lyrics, some sort of throat singing or bill singing, and it made us all freeze right there, right now, or right then, I guess, in that case. So that is where we were. We said, okay, well, if you know where Willow is, we need to find Willow after school again today and tonight. And we were calling it Operation Dark and Wood, after the famous, some of the more famous campaigns and novels based on Bard and Bunny's campaigns by Margaret Weiss and Tracy Hickman. They had written all these amazing novels based on campaigns they had run in Bard and Lance was the world they had created. And we always liked that lore. And there was a place called Dark and Wood that was a bit like we were calling it the place beyond the swamp, the tunnel we had to go through. And we were making preparations, you know, getting spitballers, you know, that's what LJ had. And said, yeah, I'm going to make these giant slimy spitballs and then, you know, and then flashlights. And then, of course, Vaughn had a lot of snacks. And we said, okay, then we realized that Billy couldn't go to school. So I said, Billy, okay, we'll meet you after school, in the dry spot a little bit behind my house. And, of course, Billy looked unsure. And I said, okay. And then I said, oh, well, I'll give you my Marty Moose watch. And she said, Marty Moose watch? And I said, yeah, it tells the time. It was a new concept a little bit to Billy. And I said, when Little Paw is pointing at 3 and Longer Paw is pointing at also 3, when those two are both pointing at 3, I think that would be like the time we'd meet. And then we'd discuss, wait a second, are you sure? And then Billy said, what about the tail? And I said, well, that's the second hand. And then we talked about the concept of seconds. But that got complicated. And we eventually said, well, just ignore that. Just, and I said, okay, when the two paws, then we actually showed. And then I said, also don't wind the watch because this is a second mechanism I had to have put in my watch because I used to overwind it. So Billy said, don't wind the watch. Both at 3. And I said, that's right, right? 3:15. And then we agreed. And then we said, okay, we'll meet you after school. Now, another thing that was going on at the same exact time as we headed off to school was Bull Leon, the head of our community resource team, and a few members of Bull's team had headed off actually to the place beyond the swamp, which we as kids really didn't know about. First, they were going to just look around, but beyond the swamp was this thing called the Visitor Center. And we had snuck some looks at it, but it was like just a rundown building that were bigger than anything in our town. They didn't, their size was massive. We called it ruins, like in Bards and Big Bunnies. But the community lore was so thick that even none of us would dare people to go, but no one actually went. People that said they went, even it turned out they were making it up. Like that there was no kids that actually would go there. One of the reasons was because it was separated by a tunnel and a road. And the road would have these vehicles coming that were much bigger than any of our vehicles. The mysterious vehicles, rarely seen, but they would be seen or heard throughout a community. And the rumor was that there was no animals driving them. And now most people said, well, that's because the perspective, you couldn't see in the window of the vehicle because it's so big. But because everyone knew, you never know when one of those is going to come by. Truck, very much like our trucks, but much, much bigger. That you couldn't, and they were going so fast. Again, that had consequences before. So you would never go on the road because it was like, and then on top of that, to go to a place with ruins and giant, mysterious, rundown buildings was not, a good idea. But, Leon and the community resource team knew that there was activity beyond the swamp, which us kids didn't know. I guess only authority figures knew. But first they checked around the road and they found an old street sign that one of Bull's assistants pointed out and said, hey, Bull, look at this. So they remember these signs used to be up. Do not stop at any time for any reason, listed like never stop. And he said, what is this like? And there was other words on there that he didn't understand. And they said, all right, let's go to this visitor center and check in. And they said, do you really think those vehicles that go, the trucks go by, the giant trucks, do you believe the stuff people say about them? And Bull said, I don't know. They said, do you really think no one's driving them? Like, remember that? He said, old Misty Jones, she was up in a tree, and she said she looked right in the window, and there was no one behind the steering wheel. And then I heard the robots or computers or something, some sort of they're run by electronics. And Bull said, it sounds like baloney to me. And they went down to the other side of the swamp, which was rare, but Bull knew that behind the other side of the swamp was something called a bog walk. That was run down, but it led to this visitor center. But outside the visitor center, there was a couple of weasels on duty, guard weasels dressed in uniforms. And they were part of a larger organization of the swamp and the woodlands. A secret authority, run by secret authorities beyond just the greater community resources, we'll say. So, Leon said, hey, how you doing? And the weasels said, what do you want? Said, well, I'm town and I need to speak to somebody who's in charge. And they said, don't worry about it. And he said, well, I'm worried about it. Can I come in? Can I look around? And they said, no looking around. The visitor sent, no visitors in the visitor center. Hardy, har, har. And everybody looked at each other. And they said, yeah. And they said, well, what do you got going on in there? And is it true that this is where, you know, one of the bull's assistants said, is this where they, like, do stuff to keep, are humans real or is that just a rumor? And the weasels looked at each other and said, don't worry about it. And Bull said, listen, like, can you just check in with somebody that's in charge here and find out? Like, we just have this kid, Willow, and we think she went off, she either went off on a goose chase, so we just need any signs that the Canadian geese have been over here, so we can, I can go back and figure out if she just headed off to be a busker or start her music career, which is what we think happened. But we just got to, you know, dot the T's and cross the I's and make sure that the gooses didn't lead her on some goose chase. Or, I don't know if you have any kids, Bull said to these weasel guards. But, you know, what if he sees, somebody said these kids, the, her friends might have double dared her to go through the tunnel. So we just want to make sure, you know, that's it. And they looked at it and they said, okay, let us look into it more. And then they actually got let into the visitor center. And they saw the inside was not like the outside. You know, the first floor looked run down, and in case anybody went in there. But they brought them through another door down to the next level, which again kind of looked run down, but was functional. And that was levels below that level. But even on the functional level, they the head of another weasel, but a head of the weasels, said, well, you know, I can tell you is that the geese, they've gone, most of the Canadian geese aren't even around anymore, the Canada geese, they went back to Canada. So I don't think any geese led your kid here. And the gates were closed, so I don't think the kid went through the gates of the tunnel either. And Bull said, well, how do you know that for a fact? Or what about, did the kid cross the road? And the head of the weasel said, well, actually, I know, because we could hear you coming. And Bull said, what? And they said, yeah, we use sound. We monitor all the sound in the area. So at the tunnel, we know if the gates went up or somebody touched the gates, we can hear the road, the gravel on the sides of the road. We can hear the trucks coming. But we can't talk about that anymore. I shouldn't even have brought that up. So we, like, and what they didn't say between the lines is we could hear everything in your whole town. But Bull said, okay, well, can I just listen to the sounds? Maybe I could hear something that you didn't hear the night Willow, maybe I could hear them double daring Willow or swimming near it. And they said, yeah, sure, come on down to our listening lab, which was another level down, more modern. And as they walked, of course, the other two resource officers were like, well, so we were wondering, do you think, is it true humans evolved, or we evolved from humans? And they said, well, I don't know, we're just weasels, man. Do you think, like, if humans returned, again, we're just weasels. You never heard a human on there? Are those trucks driven by? And they did say, okay, I shouldn't have brought up the trucks, the weasel said, but they're not doing anything. They're just like some sort of, they go, yeah, there's automated trucks permanently running some routes, solar powered. So there's nothing to worry about other than, you know, the trucks coming at unpredictable times. And Bull said, well, why don't we work together to form an early warning system or something? And the weasel said, why don't you just stay off the road? And Bull said, okay, fair enough. He said, the trucks are just running. And they said, yeah, just running from the human days. But yeah, there's no humans, nothing to worry about. And Bull said, well, that sounds odd to me. But then they went and listened, and they listened, and they didn't hear anything. They didn't hear anything on the road. They didn't hear anything near the tunnel to go to the place beyond the swamp or the bog walk or anything. Not really very many sounds. So they left the lab. But as they left the lab and got ready to drive off, they said to the other resource officers, they said, well, I guess that's it, except for that, well, you know, that's odd and all that stuff. And he said, what phase was the moon a few nights ago? And they said, what do you mean? He said, did you hear any croaking on those tapes? I think if you look up the phase of the moon, you'd realize that that was a high croaking night and there was no croaking going on. As a frog, even I was thinking about croaking my heart out that night. And they said phases, and they were a bit confused because they didn't have as depth of knowledge that Leon did. Now, meanwhile, Daria had gone to school, mostly just to check in, because as soon as she got there, the school authorities were like, Daria, shouldn't you just be home? You don't need to come in. We're like, we'll send your work home. You don't even need to do any work right now. Just think about, you know, just rest with you and your mom and take care of your mom. And Daria said, okay, well, I just got to get some stuff out of my locker. Maybe I'll just have Babs collect my assignments. And the school said, okay. But meanwhile, Tefe said, hey, what if I collect your assignments? I could get your assignments for you. Babs who? Tefe's on the job, Daria. And Daria said, shouldn't you be in class? And then actually one of the authorities said, Tefe, shouldn't you be in class? And Babs said, yeah, what class is And then Daria said, Tefe was huffed and went back to class, but really just went to the restroom. And then Daria said, well, what class is Babs in? And they said, Chlorophyll 104. And she headed over there. And she said, is Babs here? And the teacher said, Babs is out today. Shouldn't you be home? I thought Babs was going to get your assignments. Shouldn't you know where Babs is? And Daria said, weird, that's odd, but thanks. And Daria left. And Daria got a feeling like, that's weird. So she went to the phone and called. Now, this is back when you had to pay to use the phone, public phones, ancient times to probably you listening. And she called Babs' house and said, hey, is Babs there? And they said, Daria, is that you? Why are you calling on the phone? Shouldn't you be resting? Or should you even be using your phone? Because not many people had call waiting in this day, and definitely not Daria and Francis and Willow. And Daria said, no. Can I talk to Babs? They said, well, I thought Babs was at your house helping out. She's not with you? And Daria, and this was something Daria would greatly regret. She said, oh, sorry, I'm just so stressed about Willow. I forgot Babs was at my house with my mom. And then was going to go to the library. I went to school. I just went, and they said, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Well, tell Babs to give us a call when you see her. And that's like, I understand that your feelings. And Daria said, oh, yeah, thanks. And the other thing I want you to know is that meanwhile, like over there at the visitor center, they were listening to all of this. They were listening into all these conversations and, you know, it's foreshadowing, okay, that they could hear everything we were saying, and they must have had the resources to listen to everything we were saying. They probably weren't listening as closely at the middle school where myself, LJ, and Vaughn were trying to go to school. And we were on recess, and we were kind of planning on our journey in Dark and Wood and just saying Raceland or Caramon, you know, Tika, like Golden Moon. We were talking about all our favorite characters and kind of saying, okay, I can't wait to do that. And, but really, we were like hoping to find our friend Willow, right? And you know, maybe cover up our other feelings or distract ourselves with the feelings of adventure. But the two of these river bottom wannabes from our school that weren't nice came up and they said, oh, look who it is. One short of a quadrant of something. I don't even know what they said. And we said, be quiet. And they said, L-O-Z-E-R or something. We said, what do you mean? And they said, don't you know, your friend Willow ditched you all? And we said, no, she didn't. And they said, yeah, we heard. My dad said that Willow, went out to Riverbottom to try to start her career. Because, she, you know, without you three dragging her down, she was the most talented, but she'll be back. Or maybe she won't. She'll just be like a busker, tap dancing for nickels. They thought that was the funniest. And we were like, what are you talking about? And they said, listen, your friend Willow thought she had potential without you three. With you three, no potential. And we said, what? And they said, yeah, she always used to tell us you were holding her back in her career. We said, no, that's not true. She was our friend. And they said, well, she just needed you for rehearsal only. We said, but we played Bards and Bunnies. And then they said, that sounds like kids stuff, change your diapers or something. And we said, oh. And they headed off. Now, back in my house, Billy was there, and she was kind of looking around our house. She was bored. And she actually snuck into Tefe's room and looked at Tefe's otter oils and actually saw a picture of Tefe, Dari, and Babs. And she kind of paused and looked at Babs and had a sense of something. She even touched Babs' picture and it kind of gave her the chills. Then she went down and she actually turned on the TV and was trying to watch TV. She wasn't super familiar with TV. And at some point, an ad came on with this music, a really popular song at the time. And it was for, and they said, it's time to pump up the jam with Dino Puffs, a jam edition. Pump it up. But Billy started looking, and then Billy started to drift into her own memories. And she remembered a moment from not that long ago where she was in the visitor center in one of the lower levels with Dr. Max and other scientists watching her. And they were asking her to puff up the cereal and sing Pump Up the Jam. And she was singing it through her bill and her throat and puffing up the cereal to 30 or 40 times its size until some of the marshmallow jam filled puffs popped and covered everybody with jam. But they were very impressed. But she didn't. She said, why am I doing this? I'm just a kid. And as she drifted, back from that memory, she kind of felt forlorn. And wondered when it was going to be 3:15 or the two hands were going to be on the three. Back at Francis's house, she was putting up wind chimes. Then she went to her work and bought more wind chimes. Then she bought teacups and spoons and forks and fishing line, anything you could use to make, bamboo, everything you could use to make homemade wind chimes too. And a new phone, and she told her boss, just put it on my, tab. Give me a break. And she started putting up wind chimes all through the house, just randomly, and then trying to make wind chimes. And my mom showed up to kind of make small talk and bring her some lunch and dinner, because my mom's like that, she's caring. But my mom also wanted to stick around and, check in, and she said, that's a lot of wind chimes, and Francis said, yeah, Willow loves wind chimes, and, when I would make them, so I've been thinking about taking it back up to, now, meanwhile, my youngest sibling followed the wind chimes into Willow's room. where the wind chimes started making this ominous noise, and then she thought she saw bunny ears outside the window, and the bunny ears were trying to open up the window with the ears, which was weird. So she ran off, but meanwhile, Frances had run in there and run into her, and Frances was a little bit, you know, bent. She said, "Did you see bunny ears?" And she said, And then my mom said, "We got it." And she said, "I think it's time for you to head out with your casserole. Thank you. I need to do stuff." She left it at that. Now back with they had headed to the library, where actually someone that Leon used to date was there and not too pleased with. But they said, "We got to do some research." And they said, "Knock yourself out." And they started looking into stuff like the trucks, in the road, in the visitor center, and they found out the visitor center was run by Dr. Max, and that it was funded to find out if humans were, not only if humans were real, but what if humans came to our swamp, and that they weren't just using sound waves to listen into things, but what if sound waves could be used to keep humans, there's studies about skeeters and stuff and sound waves. And then what if the song of that some people had this young, powerful sonic sound abilities, like magic powers, what if those were real? And they said, she said, whoa, this is interesting stuff. Yeah, then it was, the two hands were on the three, so Billy had headed out behind my house to wait for us, and we were headed there, but Billy had a little while and saw these ferns just growing and started again to drift back to when she was back below the visitor center, alone with a fern, and Dr. Max had told her to start singing the song by BBD. Bovine Beavers and Ducks, like a band that we were, again, a very popular one. That was like POIS, something, stuff not for, good for plants, like something in full effect. You ready? You know, and it was, had different, you know, cow sounds and duck sounds and beaver sounds. You ready to slap your tail? You know, that kind of thing. Slap, did a slap, did a slap, like with your tail. And then, she remembered that she was supposed to use that song to make some of the leaves fall off the fern. And she said, "No." And Dr. Max said, "Dude, darn, go to your room, and be escorted by these two, weasels to your room, no dinner." And, you know, just like any kid sent to the room without dinner, especially like for doing what they felt was within their value system, Billy was not happy. So she started to sing it to the two weasels that are supposed to escort her. From the Young Fun, the famous movie about the West and these young beings that had fun with one another. She sang the song, "Lie Down in a Haze of Glory." And she sang that song, and this bright light came that immediately increased the weasel's melatonin production so much that when the light went away, they fell sound asleep. And Dr. Max watched all this and then swept Billy up in his arms and carried her off to dinner in bed. And he was very happy and pleased with her. And she didn't know if, he was pleased with her by accident or pleased with her on purpose. And it, you know, it created a, you know, low-level mistrust. Then we showed up, and she came back, and we said, "Are you okay?" And she said, "Yeah, just, you know, thinking about stuff." They said, "Well, let's go find Willow." And then we started going, and we were telling her about how the kids at school said that Willow, and LJ and Vaughn were like, "Are you sure Willow, you know where Willow is?" And I said, yeah, just this way. Willow's here. And they said, "Well, our friends, everybody's saying that Willow just moved away to start her career." And we, what if that's the case? We're just wasting our time. And I said, yeah. And she said, they're just trying to upset your feelings. And I said, yeah, they're JURKSs. We talked about it. And she said, no, Willow's your friend. She wouldn't leave without telling you to start a career. Or if you weren't on, she would have helped you be better musicians if she thought that. And I don't think LJ and Vaughn bought it, but I did. I said, you're right. She's our friend. And she said, yeah, let's go find your friend. I'm not a music theorist. So this next part, so back at Francis's house, Willow and Dari's house, Francis was there. And she was working, tuning all sorts of wind chimes and waiting. And then finally the wind chimes started to ring. And she said, Willow, are you here? You know, ring. And Willow, you know, play do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. If you're here, or if you're really there. And she did across all the wind chimes. And then Francis said, talk to me. And then she just kept playing do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Then she played other things. And then Francis went to a lot of work, which I can't get into, but arranging all the wind chimes and trying to do it by notes, like a giant wind chime piano, is the best way I could describe it. And then she said, you know, I gave you piano lessons, Willow, to play piano for me. Now, unfortunately, Willow did start playing songs, which were clearly songs by wind chime piano for her mother, or some other, you know, being did. And she played four different songs, but Francis didn't know what songs Willow was playing. And so she was like, I don't know what these songs are. What are you trying to tell me? And then the radio started fuzzing, but it could only fuzz. And she said, oh, I'll turn the radio on. Oh, okay. And she turned the radio on. And then she had to listen to the radio for a long time until the songs happened to come on, which I think probably Willow maybe had control over, but not a full control over. So it was like a 2-hour period of just listening to the radio. But eventually she said, oh, okay, the first song is Here I Am, Baby. Oh, okay, so you are here. And then the next song, she said, oh, you're thinking about me, and I'm thinking about you. You're thinking about you. And then the next song was, oh, I just want to hold you tight. Oh, so do I, Willow. I just want to hold you tight. What should I do? And then the last song was called Rush, Rush. And she said, rush, rush, where? Rush, rush. And then it felt like a bunny was jumping outside the house, a big, big bunny, rumbling, rumbling. And then she just kept playing the chorus, rush, 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 over and over again on the wind chimes and the radio, in fuzz and wind chime piano. And then Francis realized, okay, I better rush out of here. She rushed out of the house. Now, meanwhile, Dari had gone to again kind of retrace her steps with Babs, and she did find where they had parked and maybe where Babs had gone off, and she followed Babs' steps, and then she found some bunny goose feather goo, and then Babs' steps ended, and then after that were bunny, gigantic bunny feet, hopping off into the swamp and towards where the tunnel was. And she said, oh, no. And so she ran home to her mom. And meanwhile, we were like right on the edge of their property. And we realized that we said, this is Willow's house. And that's where Billy had led us. And then Vaughn and LJ got really upset. They said, this is Willow's house. And she said, yes, she's here, Billy said. And they said, she's not here. We know that is a fact. Why did you bring us here? You're just trying to make us happy so we'll be friends with you. And we said, why did you bring us here? She's not here. And we even checked. And this was before, after Francis had run out of the house, so there was no one there. And there was no bunny there either, but And then we were all arguing very loudly when we heard the sounds of the community resource. It said, hey, community resource meeting. And so we followed it, and we all arrived at the edge of town. And at a place that says no dumping, like that no one's supposed to dump any of their garbage there. And dumped at the bottom of this no dumping sign. It was a former dumping ground, but, you know, say, okay, we're restoring this dumping area. There was this gigantic pile of material. And this was like when cassette tapes and CDs and the records, they were all in production. It was records and cassette tapes and CDs and ripped open boxes and water logs. And everybody was gathered around chattering. And it got there just at the same time as we did. It had ambitions in the past of being a lounge singer in a failed career, but I don't want to get into that. So, like, picked one up and saw that it was Willow on the cover of this big record singing, and then flipped it over and they frowned and threw it on the ground because it had already been through something and gone and moved to the big city and moved home, and not in a positive way. But we saw it throw down. We said, what record is it? What is going on? And then we each just started to pick one up, and everybody went quiet, and we looked at it, and it was Willow on the cover of the album, and she was singing. And then we flipped over and looked at the listing of the tracks, and every single song was like it had, it was like her first album or something, but it had been dumped. But they were all songs about our town and us in a non, like it was not a comedy album, but it was like a breakup album. It said, our town stinks. I'm better than you. I'm best. You're the rest. Dari and Tefe sitting in a tree. Goodbye, Mom. Hello, City. Bull Baloney. There's songs, I can't even tell you what it said about Vaughn and LJ and I. Never be the best, and then parentheses, friend. And then consider this the end, I won't be back. That was the last song. And so I dropped from my hands. And then, of course, we were very frustrated with Billy for leading us there. Because we said, why'd you lead us here for our friend, like, why'd you tell us our friend, the weasels, they were right. How could Willow do this to us? And how could you tell us that Willow wasn't going to do this to us and move away to the big city? And I was so upset, I ran all the way home crying, I'll be honest with you. And my mom was there, and I told her, Emma really did move away and start an album. And it was like the album was about her angst around all of, and my mom just held me. And meanwhile, Frances had run out of her house while Dari was running home to tell her mom that she thinks that Babs was in a pickle. And her mom ran into her and was like, well, I just, like, so they just held each other beyond words, more than words, is what was going on between the two of them. And then everyone held one another and said, let's go to bed and let's just hold on to those we care about because it's such a precious reminder that all will be well. The loving embrace or the memory of a loving embrace of our family members. And so we went to bed. Good night. All right, I want to thank everybody that reviewed the podcast recently over here on Apple Podcasts. I really appreciate it. Ella loves the podcast. Two flowers, fall asleep fast with a moon. Thanks, Ella. SLB 1210, just when I needed cadence of the voice, a little bit of sleep, and shut my brain down. Thank you. Oryuna said transit tickets. I sent one from Barcelona, but it came back. Oh, dear. You'll have to look into that. Thanks, Aruna. Let's see. Great podcast. That's from Gamer 1030. Helps me sleep so much. Ricky C says, thanks. Been in the Navy 22 years, and a lot of deployments mess my sleep up. My sleep doctor recommended your podcast. I'm usually out before we get to the show. Not at first, but after being played all night. Thanks for what you do. Detacular says Z's, and they love the podcast. Hiya, Kevin, says, love this podcast, helps me sleep. Best, thank you. Manda B says, getting me through this. Tried to sleep with me about 6 months ago. Initially, it didn't work, you know, because it didn't. But now I'm home with my son and pets at my parents' house. And, you know, waiting to relocate. And I'm sharing my childhood bedroom with my 9-year-old son. And they tried to sleep with me, and it works. So, so happy to help. Thank you, Amanda. Soul Train with an E says, helpful and hilarious. Oh, thanks. Been listening for a few years on and off. I'd listen every night if I could. I used to travel for work. And I only have about 7 hours to eat, sleep, and shower between shifts, so I need to fall asleep quick, and this podcast is better than a lullaby. Later, you know, I dealt with other stuff that had trouble falling asleep, and this I recommend. Nay from Australia says, the best. I wish I could tell you what the stories are about, but I'm asleep. Pip was let down because the episodes were explicit. Wally says, like everyone else says, maybe we've read this one already, but maybe not. I hate to repeat what everybody says because I laugh, but I had the same experience. I was so confused the first time I listened. He's making no sense. I don't get this. It turns out I didn't start at the beginning of the episode. The second time I listened, I was out like a light. Now I don't worry anymore. I set my sleep timer 30 minutes and I'm asleep. Ketanition says, great sleep material. It took me a bit to get used to it, but then I found I was pleasantly falling asleep. Thank you so much. And let me see if there's anything new on, no, so that's it. Thanks everybody for reviewing the show. Sleep with Me exists as a free podcast because the people that support the show, directly on Patreon or support our sponsors, and we grow as a podcast by people sharing their natural word online or in person, or, you know, online in person, you know, when you're like video chats or whatever stuff. And speaking of podcasts and stuff, I wanted to let you know about this.
Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.